Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism on page 31. We're reading the third full paragraph, beginning with, "We do not like to pronounce any individual," ending with, "If you get a full knowledge of your condition." And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Joanne L., reading the 12 steps, Claudia C., reading the 12 traditions, Christine M. will be reading the text, Robin B. is reading page 164, Janice P.M. is our faithful backup reader today. A newcomer greeter is going to be Larry G, and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, April 16th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,374 or 2337. Did I say 22,375? 23375. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,377 or 23377. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning.
Good morning, again.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, and thank you for your service. And a special welcome to the newcomers. I am Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and by the grace of God, I am recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. We'll now ask Claudia C. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Claudia.
Good morning, everybody. This is Claudia C., compulsive overeater from California. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message, the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, as problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Claudia C. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are reading, or we are sharing, what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 31. We're reading the third full paragraph, beginning with, we do not like to pronounce any individual, ending with, if you get a full knowledge of your condition. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. I'll now ask Christine M. to please get us started and begin reading. Good morning, Christine. Christine, can you hit star 1 to unmute, please? Christine M., we can't hear you, friend.
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that. My name is Christine M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Stop or step over to the nearest bar room and try some controlled drinking. Try to drink and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. Hold on, I'm turning the page here. Sorry about that. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide. if you are honest with yourself about it, it may be worth a bad taste of the jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. So yeah, I like this paragraph, and that is true for me. I'm the only way that I was able to be convinced that I was a real compulsive eater was by, you know, failed attempts, many failed attempts. And so, you know, for me, until I was convinced, you know, that I was a compulsive overeater, I wasn't going to be willing to do this program as it was as outlined in the big book. And so, you know, it wasn't like anything anybody said or, you know, anything anybody did that caused me to, you know, understand that I'm the real deal. It was pain for me. It was the pain of just keep trying to hit my head up against that wall over and over with the same result. So I'm just really grateful to be here. I'm grateful that I know without a doubt that I am a real compulsive overeater. I'm not a normal eater. I never will be. I don't get to just do whatever I want with food or do whatever I want in life. I have to have guardrails and, you know, safety nets, are not just around the food, but around my recovery program, because that's when I know that I'm getting off track, you know, is because of those guardrails. So I'm just truly grateful to be here. And I'm grateful for that pain today, because without it, I would still be in relapse, which I was for 6 years. And, you know, still telling myself that I could do it myself somehow. So thank you so much for sharing. I mean, thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Claudia M. We're now going to open the meeting up for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any of the vision meetings, either the, you know, the early one or this one, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. And I will remind you when your time is up. So if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Hey,
Susanna A., Los Angeles.
Right. Wendy, that's Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was Susanna A. from California?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Deborah. Michelle W.C.
I heard Deborah. Deborah, what's your last initial? I'm so sorry. I can't hear you.
Deborah G., Arizona.
Arizona. Got you, Deborah.
Susan J. from Montana.
Was that a Susan J. or a Susan G. from Montana?
J.
J. Got you, Susan.
Michelle W. C.
What page are we on?
That Michelle W. C.
Pardon me?
California. I'm sorry. Just a moment, please. We're taking names right now. Who else would like to share?
Alexis F.
Alexis, is that F as in Frank?
F as in Frank.
Okay, and Alexis, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, gotcha.
Lynn D., California.
I heard someone C, but I didn't catch your first name. Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, no worries. Lynn, L-Y-N-N-D. California.
Okay, so that was Lynn C. from California. Okay. Mm-hmm. And was there anyone else who wanted to get in? Okay, let me t- tell you who I've got. I've got Wendy M., Susanna A., I think it's Susanna. Susanna A., Deborah G., Susan J., Michelle W.C., Alexis F., and Lynn C. And to that earlier question on where we're at in the book, I'll remind you guys, we are on page 31 in More About Alcoholism. We read the third full paragraph beginning with, "We do not like to pronounce any individual," ending with, "If you get a full knowledge of our condition." So we read that one paragraph, and that's what we're sharing on. And when I call on you, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from so people can find you on the member list. So we're going to start with Wendy M., followed by Susanna A. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. Always good to hear you. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. I adore this chapter. More about thinking, more about lying, more about relapse, more about alcoholism. Love it. Okay. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic. Are you kidding? I'm a professional at pronouncing what people are. I'm a professional at judging who people are. I know they don't. I know better than God, et cetera, right? That kind of a thing. And when people come to me, I've talked to a lot of folks suffering right now from this disease, and it's such a relief to not have to pronounce them anything. What? That is phenomenal, right? Like, I'm not in the convincing game, and I don't know if they have this thing. I don't. And that's a relief. That's what this program tells me. And then it says, you know, the nearest bar room. And I'm thinking of myself at a party, and I'm looking at the buffet table. Somebody's talking to me. I have no idea what they're saying, because all I'm thinking about is, when am I going to get some more? When am I going to get some more? I'm totally checked out, right? Like, no idea what they're saying. I don't even know their name. And then it says, it won't take long for you to decide. This isn't rocket science. I know I have a problem. I've always known I have a problem. That part's not the problem for me, right? The problem is turning my will and my life over to my creator. The problem is getting out of the way and saying, I can't, God can, I think I'll let God, right? And then it says, if you are honest with yourself. And for me, the whole name of the game here is honesty. Folks come to me and they say, I'm in the food, but I want to be good. I'll be good. I'll give you my food tomorrow. And I say, this program's not about being good. It's about getting well. And I know for myself, the only way I can get well and the only way I can get God is by being honest about what's actually happening. I just left a relationship yesterday that I was so dishonest in, and I just kept not being the woman God means me to be, right? I had to diagnose myself, and I had to cry uncle and say no more. I can't, right? And as many people say, it's the pain. It's food is a great persuader, right? I'm not going to persuade anyone, and the food is going to persuade me. But this honesty piece is huge, because when I'm honest, I get well, right? That's a sheer surrender. It's not about being a good girl. It's not about being good and white knuckling anything, right? It's about being honest. And I'm going on a trip tomorrow to Hawaii. And when I'm there, I start thinking it's a good idea, you know, to, I don't know, drink some margaritas. Even if they're called skinny, I'll be okay. Or I'm in Hawaii, so somehow I can eat X, Y, and Z. That's not God. That's not God. That's just self, right? So what I get today is I get God today, right? I get to go to God. God is the easier, softer way. Being honest is the easier, softer way. It's much harder to be a liar. It's much harder to make up shit stuff. It's just much, much harder. It's much easier to turn my will and my life over to God and say, you can, I can't. I think I'll let you. You know, lead me, God. Show me, God. Surprise me, God. And it's got to be 100%, because if I do the program 98% of the time, it's a bitch. If I do it 100% of the time, it's a breeze. And with that, I pass.
Oh, perfect timing, Wendy. Thank you so much for sharing. Next, we've got Susanna A., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Susanna.
Good morning. Susanna A. from Southern California. What a great meeting. I'm very excited to be here this morning. You know, this one is the beginning of me fully conceding to my innermost self. And I think part of the process of so long, right, is that power of denial, power of looking outward, looking away from myself, looking at what other, it's a reminder, like, But I put all my energy into looking at what other people are doing, or thinking other people are my responsibility. You know, I'm going to have a hard time. I'm going to have a hard time staying abstinent. And the only thing, this is like, if this paragraph is like the chapter talking really about the surrender and moving into acceptance, like understanding of my own power, you know, I'm going to keep binging, and I'm going to keep compulsively overeating, and I'm going to keep looking outward instead of really focusing on how I can have a connection with my higher power. And so that's just, it's just an amazing reminder. And I just wanted to share that I just had my first year of abstinence, and on Wednesday, you know, was the anniversary, and I never could have done it without this meeting and everybody in it and hearing the readings. And it feels like it's a miracle. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Susanna A. from California, and congrats on 1 year. That is a miracle. Next, we've got Deborah G., followed by Susan J. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much for your service leading us today and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today and being able to have this experience. I can remember when I had the awareness that I had a problem with sugar, and this goes back years and years and years. I always had that awareness, but never surrendered. You know, never. I kept trying to go to the bar again and tried some controlled sugar eating. And then fast forward, when I came to visions, I learned that one of the biggest alcoholic foods for me was salt. And I wasn't willing to let go of it, wasn't willing to surrender either one. And I kept doing it, switching. I kept trying to control using Himalayan, using sea salt, using whatever I could muster up in my diseased thinking to justify continuing to do the salt. Until one day I woke up out of this unconsciousness. I had a salt shaker in one hand and a fork in the other. And I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. I wasn't even tasting my food. You know, that was the awakening, the awareness. And I saw that and I said, oh God, I don't want to live like this anymore. And, but you know, I had to try all those controlled things, do all those things to get to that place of having no power and surrendering. And when I did, then I took the steps to do what I needed to do, and that was to call somebody to sponsor me and take me through those beautiful 12 steps and put down all my alcoholic foods, because I had had an assessment that showed me all my alcoholic foods. And I know those today, and I need to not do those foods, put those foods into my body, because it's going to start that phenomenon of craving, mental obsession, physical allergy, and my mind, my thinking disease is going to go crazy. I know from experience in the past, I'm so grateful that I can remember all of that. And I'm so grateful that I have this program and those beautiful 12 steps to live, this way of living that helps me. And because of those 12 steps, okay, to that power. And I'm so grateful for that power. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Next, we've got Susan J., followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan, compulsive overeater from Montana. This paragraph is just wonderful. It reminds, the first part, we do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, reminds me that I'm not in control, that God's in control. I don't have to be concerned with anyone other than myself. The next portion, you can quickly diagnose yourself, reminds me that it's up to the individual. They have to be in the right place at the right time. I know I was. I could know that I shouldn't eat this. I know I should stop, but I just couldn't do it. I would try and I would try, and it just didn't happen. I like the idea of if someone is unable to admit that they have a problem, of trying some controlled eating. And it won't take very long for them to realize that they do have a problem. The key here being honest, which I think is kind of sums up the whole program. If we're not honest with ourselves, if we're not honest with God, if we're not honest with others, we just can't get it. So when we're willing to take that step and be honest with ourselves, we can take that next step forward. And I appreciate your service. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Susan J. from Montana. Next, we've got Michelle W.C., followed by Alexis F. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. Michelle W.C. in California. And I've just been really enjoying the shares this week on this new chapter, more about alcoholism, and just kind of looking at this paragraph, how it's saying only you can diagnose yourself. And I think some of us wish there was a test we could do. but here they do. Like, I think it would be nice to be able to do a blood test or something just really clear and black and white. But here they suggest that we go to a bar room. And for my case, instead of a bar room, it would be a bakery. And just try to have, you know, half a piece of cake. Oh, my gosh, that would be just crazy for me. And so I know that I often resist. I have this, I think, an entitlement mentality of I shouldn't have this problem, or I've been working this program for over a year. I've been following a good food plan. I shouldn't have this problem. But yet I was not honest with myself, and I was able to relapse. I did turn back to the food for ease and comfort. And so I love that this paragraph is also pointing to honesty. If you're honest with yourself about it, it won't take you long to decide. And every time, sometimes in these rooms, I hear of a solution that someone tried that didn't work for them. And I'm like, oh, I didn't try that one. And then thank God I'm having some power, and thank God I have a higher power that's reminding me, you know, that wouldn't work. You know, no, nothing is going to work. No pills, no shots are going to work for you. It's, you know, it's eating clean, simple, abstinent food. It's being honest about, you know, sticking to your food plan. It's being honest with yourself and your family, and you know, turning our will and our lives over to God. And that's the part that I'm working on now, is turning my will and my thoughts over to God. And it's a lot to share this morning. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle W.C. from California. Next, we've got Alexis F., followed by Lynn C. Good morning, Alexis.
Hi, this is Alexis F. from New Jersey, East Coast time. My it says in this paragraph, we can quickly diagnose ourselves. And that's interesting, because nobody can tell you what your abstinence is right or wrong. Nobody can tell us if our abstinence is right or wrong, or if it's the plan that we should be on, or if we should pick a plan from the program, or if we should go to a nutritionist. It's suggested, but it's not mandatory to have a certain food plan. Some do well just choosing from the list of food plans, and some you know, need a nutritionist to guide them as to what they need health-wise. I find that interesting because I diagnosed myself when I first came in. I heard so many parts of myself being described, and I didn't do that part X in the beginning. I did it with my whole heart. I jumped into the abstinence and was abstinent for 4 or 5 months when someone asked me to leave the program because they thought it was not good for me mentally and spiritually. So I did, no fault of theirs, mine for listening. And that's a lesson in itself. Anyone who asks us to leave doesn't know the program, because anyone who does certainly knows that this is a growth program, growth mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And I became abstinent in the stronger sense when I came into the program and worked the steps. That was an eye-opener for me. And I figured I would... I've been abstinent now. I'm in and out of abstinence for a long, long time, decades. It's very thin, very heavy, very thin, very heavy, very thin, very heavy. And I've been in the program now for a long, long time. And
Alexis, that's time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Alexis F. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Lynn C. Good morning, Lynn. Lynn C., could you please press star 1 to unmute?
Yes, thank you. Hi, I'm Lynn D, as in dinosaur. I'm from San Diego, California, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I always like this paragraph because it's very visual. I'm a visual learner, and so I can totally see myself like, go try it, you know. Go to the bar, go to the, you know, pick a restaurant, you know, XYZ restaurant, you know, and try some controlled, you know, drinking, eating, whatever. Because it's quick, you know, for me, it's quick. I'm a quantity eater for sure. So, you know, for a long time, I was like the one plate girl. Like, I thought that was going to cure me. If I could just stick to one plate, you know, and I even took pictures and all of that stuff. But for me today, it's just being 100% honest with me and another fellow about, you know, all of the things, like all of the behaviors, all of the food, getting closer to God so I can really have that, like, rigorous honesty, you know, like I could be honest, but it's Lynn honest, right, which is not honest, but rigorously honest is something that, you know, going into that bar room and not having a drink or a bite, you know, that's kind of rigorous honest for me today. That would be my honesty today. You know, and it's like uncomfortable when you have to like kind of explain it again. Like I started a new book club, and so, you know, it's like, oh goodness, you know, they eat and they eat a meal and then they eat dessert, and it's just too late for me, you know, it's for me, and that's okay. And, you know, the explaining it and sitting next to, you know, my judgmentalness is another compulsive overeater and her just like picking at me all night long for not eating and not eating in third and asking all the questions. And it's like, oh, you know, I can quickly diagnose, but I kept it to myself. And I shared with her after that I was in program. So, you know, that my 12th step, you know, I'm rigorously honest about sharing about how the, you know, what I'm doing. So yeah, it's uncomfortable sometimes, but rigorously honest for me about my program and not living in denial anymore is huge. And it starts with like sharing one compulsive overeater's experience with another. That's how I can stay rigorously honest. Because it would be totally easy for me just to like show up at book club and eat and, you know, have that my thing and, you know, I only meet these people once a month and they're not in my life and but yeah, just how gross and nasty I would feel if I did that. So today for me I pick rigorously honest and yeah, with that I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Lynn D from California. All right, we're now gonna take another lineup. Just a reminder that just one moment, please. A reminder that if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Regina V from California.
Regina V from California. And then there was a name first. Was that Marie?
Doreen N.
Is that Doreen?
Yes, it is.
And that was M or an M is your last initial?
M is in Nancy. N is in Nancy.
And where are you calling from? Gotcha.
Texas. From?
Texas. Okay, so I've got Doreen N and Regina V.
UNC.
Luann C. And where are you from?
Idaho.
Luann?
Idaho.
Thank you.
Darcy A. from North Carolina. Or not North Carolina anymore. Washington.
Darcy A. from Washington. Okay. We may be able to sneak someone else in there at the end if there's one more person who wants to share. We may not get to you, but we might be able to.
Jordan L.
Regina M.
Okay, Jordan L. So we're going to, I think that'll get us to the end there. I've got Doreen N, Regina V, Luann C, Darcy A, and Jordan L. We'll start with Doreen N, followed by Regina V. Hey there, Doreen.
Thank you. Good morning. Sorry for the interruption. I'm just very, this wonderful paragraph, wonderful share. Thank you for your service. Okay, this self-diagnosis thing. I self-diagnosed myself, I don't know, like 30 years ago. I was in Louisiana, and me and my friend were joking around. We were smoking, and we joked around and said, you know, I think I'm a food addict. And I didn't know that this program existed. I didn't know. I just thought I enjoyed food. I love food. I really, really do. And but it's not a love of food. It's an obsession. It poisons you. It takes over your life. You don't think about anybody else or anything except getting that fix of food, getting that high, getting that feeling of, oh, my God, this is so damn good. And who has that reaction like that? We do. We do. I know this person. I know this compulsive overeater does. And it's not related to this paragraph, but the way it is, self-diagnosis to me means made a decision. It says it earlier in the book, a decision. Not, oh, I'm gonna do well, it's New Year's, and I'm going to plan, and I'm going to be good, and tomorrow will be great, and starting tomorrow, and tomorrow never ends. And so this is a wonderful way of saying, I know what I am, I know who I am, but only God, my higher power, can help me be from the state of utter defeat. I feel like someone who's in a boxing ring getting my head bashed in and bloody everywhere, and that's not going to happen. That's the disease, and disease lies, the big fat liar. And when I'm honest with myself, I get to kick that to the curb and ask God in. Thank you so much for letting me share. Thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Doreen N. from Texas. Next, we've got Regina V., followed by Luann C. Good morning, Regina.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. My name is Regina V., and I'm from California. I love this paragraph, this paragraph actually really made me realize that I really was a compulsive overeater and sugar addict, because there's no way in hell, and I always say this to a lot of people, that I can buy a bag of cookies and just eat two. Like, that will never happen. And for me, this disease was very insidious, because all my life I tried to eat healthy. But if I went to a party, so it was always control, restrict. If I went to a party, you know, the desserts were on. Or if I, what else? Yeah, a party. Or even recovery meetings. I remember Al-Anon meetings, they would have the dessert table, right? And I would go to work. I would eat everything in sight. But then when I would get home, I wouldn't buy. Like, I'd go to the grocery store and I would not put any cookies or desserts in my grocery cart. So there was always a lot of restricting, because my main objective in life was to lose weight. But I never could, because, you know, at night I thought I was having a healthy snack, but it was really a lot of calories. It was Dave's Killer Bread with a lot of almond butter and lots of honey and a tall glass of milk. And I couldn't understand why I wasn't losing weight if during the day I was eating healthy. So it was all these food behaviors. And I remember also, you know, not baking. I think I only baked 5 times in my lifetime, because I knew instinctively, I didn't know I was a sugar addict or that I had a disease or that I was a compulsive overeater. I just knew instinctively that I could not control my sugar. Like, if I baked a cake, nobody was going to get any of it. If I baked brownies, nobody was going to get brownies, because I was going to eat them all. And the scariest thing for me was reaching 300 pounds. And I was not going to have that. I was not going to weigh 300 pounds. So my obsession of the mind was always thinking about dieting every single minute of my existence. I would get on that scale every single day. People share that they got on 5 times a day. I didn't do that, but even just getting on it every single morning for me is an obsession and an extreme, you know. And I'm grateful that finally, because that was a really hard nut to crack, and I'm grateful that finally I found the rooms of OA, and that now I'm working the steps, and I'm on step 4, and that hopefully I'll be abstinent for the rest of my life and just, you know, have that psychic change and that transformation, because I finally had to surrender. It took a lot of years and a lot of, you know, being in programs to get where I am today. But that's what happens. It takes what it takes. And I'm grateful that I finally opened my eyes and said, I'm not a normal eater. I never will be. And the last thing I want to share is that once I got into recovery, but I wasn't recovered.
Regina, we lost you. We can't hear you. And we got 2 seconds left anyway. There you are. Do you want to just wrap up real quick?
That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'm grateful I'm an OA. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Regina V. from California. Next, we've got Luann C., followed by Darcy A. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for leading. And hey, everybody, it's Friday, and boy, I'm loving the shares. As was said this week, I'm Luann C. I am really grateful to be recovered today and on my feet in Boise, Idaho. I didn't think I'd have anything to share on this paragraph, but, you know, this morning it's really hitting me that, you know, judging other people, their behaviors, if they're overweight, you know, what they need, you know, that was a strategy for living for me. You know, and I always had this thought that, you know, they just can't admit how bad it is. You know, that's how I looked at the world, judging each person. And that allowed me this pitiful little bit of self-esteem, because if they were so messed up, I must be okay because I have the clarity to judge them. And boy, you know, with that strategy for facing human life, all I really needed was a diet because I was pretty okay. Everybody was messed up. I just needed tolerance for them and a good diet. And that's how I lived for decades. And, you know, with decades in that cycle, you know, the longer you go in life, the bigger the pile of collateral damage that builds up. And I couldn't face that. I didn't know how to face all that collateral damage. And, you know, because of this program, I've been given a way to successfully face life. And this morning, it's hitting me that all these people around me, they're just living their lives. And, you know, most people in my life are great, stellar souls. I mean, they're great human beings. And if they are overweight, they really might be heavy eaters. But that means that the problem is me. But because of this program and this process I allowed myself to go through, I can accept this disease has cost me years of life, but only because now I have a solution. And thank God I've seen some changes in my behavior and these relationships. This program has allowed me to digest my past so that I can live today in a great life. And thank God these people have forgiven me. So I'm just so grateful. And I thank you for helping me on this journey, everybody who has. And with that, I hope everybody has a great Friday and a great weekend. I pass.
Thank you so much, Darcy from Washington. And Jordan, we only have like almost 2 minutes, a little less. Would you like to share for 2 minutes, please?
Hey, I think that was Luann. I don't think Darcy has shared yet, Stephanie.
Oh, shoot. I'm jumping around, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, Luann, not Darcy. And Darcy, would you like to take a two-minute share? And sorry, Jordan, we're not going to get to you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Go for it, Darcy.
Hi, this is Darcy. Sorry, I just start one. I was thinking about this full knowledge of my condition and how it's taken me decades to really see where I'm at with artificial sweeteners and how they're alcoholic foods for me and how I've repeatedly tried it over and over and over and found it just landing me on my butt. And I haven't had flour and sugar and have been weighing and measuring for 6 years, but I have repeatedly tried artificial sweeteners, and I just did not get that full knowledge of my condition until just recently. And I really feel like it's a gift from my higher power to get that rigorous honesty. I just haven't been able to get there. I came to my first meeting when I was 18 years old, and I didn't stick, but I've been weighing and measuring and back in recovery since 2000. But like I said, I've repeatedly tried over and over to have more and to relapse. And I would get, you know, years of abstinence and then relapse on flour and sugar. And finally, I stopped that. I God help me to not do that anymore. And I know I could do it tomorrow if I get away from this program. But so far, I haven't had to eat flour and sugar since 2000. Or excuse me, since, 2020. But I...
Sure, next time.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's a short one. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Darcy A. from Washington. And it's time to close the meeting. So we're going to now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Robin B, can you please
yes.
Read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you. This is Robin B. in Ohio.
compulsive overeater, living in recovery one day at a time. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.